An Instagram post gets an unexpected boost. A TikTok catches in the algorithm. Sometimes that's all it takes to launch someone into internet fame. But then what? This Blew Up is a new podcast documentary that reveals how social media stardom is made. It's a different kind of fame that's not always as glamorous as it looks. From Spotify and the Ringer Podcast Network, I'm Alyssa Bereznek. You can listen to This Blew Up on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Reboot your credit card with Apple Card, the only credit card designed for iPhone. It gives you up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase. Plus, Apple Card has no fees, not even hidden ones. Apply for Apple Card now on the Wallet app on iPhone.
Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Variable APRs for Apple Card range from 19.24% to 29.49% based on creditworthiness. Rates as of February 1st, 2024. Terms and more at applecard.com.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Hello, and welcome to the Prestige TV podcast. It's the Succession Precap with Big Waz and Chris Ryan, and Marsha's back.
Godzilla, my goodness.
Oh, Waz, man. We got a good one to talk about in terms of, we'll talk a little bit about four. We'll get a little bit excited about five. It was, you know, every one of these episodes is a family reunion. They unlike any show in the TV landscape, Succession does not skimp on episodic appearance fees. So right. If you're on Succession, you're going to somehow be in every episode.
I love that.
And they found just about everybody damn near except for Logan.
Of course.
To pop up in this one. What'd you think of the episode?
Again, another excellent episode. I think, as always, the show is constantly telling us what the show is about, what direction the show is going to go. Because I'm a devoted watch listener, I heard you talking to Andy and say that, I don't need any more resets. I don't need any of the kids to go back on what they're doing. I think they're setting it up to be like, it's basically a War of the Seven Kings. Everybody's gonna have their fake ass claim to this throne.
Yeah.
And the knives are they're gonna be coming out in short order, it feels like.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the more I think about it, the less I think Shiv is fine with the way things got.
Mean,
it's not like I don't think Shiv is gonna take a 6 to 8 month sabbatical from angling for power here. And it's like the question that's at the center of the show, and I think especially louder now that Logan's gone, is like, what do they want? What do these kids want?
I think it's obvious. It's just naked power and influence. Because when Shiv is like about to throw up because she's in theory again letting her two brothers, Roman and Ken, be the co-CEOs of this thing, and she almost throws up. Because these guys are going to be the interim CEOs of this thing in what is ostensibly allegedly supposed to be in name only, right? Like for the time being,
yes.
Like obviously she's super involved and they're supposed to lean on her. You could see her physically reacting immediately when, and I know we're going to talk about the scene with the C-suite cowboys, when Ken was like, oh, my name, it's right there. Look, it says Ken right there.
Yeah.
Like her face is immediately, she starts being like, okay, so.
Yeah, I believe at one point she says, it feels like you have a heart on right now. You know, like she definitely is like, you need to seem less desperate about this.
Yeah, it's the desperation, but it's also just the naked ambition, right? And part of it, and maybe this is me projecting onto Shiv, even though I think that's our jobs here. It feels like the reason she's downplaying it is because she doesn't have that kind of chip to play.
Uh-huh.
She knows that it's ridiculous, but she also understands that if she were the one wearing the shoe, if the shoe was on her foot, she would be doing the exact same thing. And that's why it's irritating her that Kendall keeps pointing to his name being on this paper, even though everybody explains and understands that it doesn't mean anything.
It's not legally binding. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It has no standing, which I think it's interesting why it's even introduced in the first place.
That the piece of paper is interesting. The amount of credence the siblings seem to lend the piece of paper is interesting. The fact that Kendall says to her, it sure as fucking shit doesn't say Shiv.
Oh,
which is one of the best lines of the season
that
so far.
Cut me deep, boy.
And obviously, like, there's this moment where the C-suite folks, which we'll talk about, are like, well, we're ready to flush this down the toilet. You know what I mean? But I think that ultimately, so much of this show is also about theater. And I thought a lot about, like, what are these, what is, like, Waystar make, or what does ATN do? And I, obviously, there's, like, all these Fox parallels. But I don't think that these people want to do anything. Like, I don't think that they're very serious about, like, reinventing the media. And they they don't want to make anything or work on anything or change anything or revolutionize anything or even reap the benefits from an idea that they had. And that's why, because of this, like, this death is the greatest opportunity that any of them are ever going to have in their lives.
Yeah. And I think that's why Kendall is acting in the way that he does. His dad is no longer there to sabotage him.
Yeah.
And he's sort of trying to seize the moment. But whenever it's, they're explaining the things, whenever he talks about what he wants to do, yeah, me and the Sibs got, you know, we got these things cooking. What are these things?
Right. Buying one magazine and newspaper empire and merging it with a conservative television network.
It's like your startup situation, you guys threw that, flung that into the toilet.
Yeah.
The second that you can. There is no thing, you guys have nothing cooking. There is no grounding idea or basis or unifying vision of what they want to do going forward. But he keeps saying that. And we know as an audience that it's not true.
Yes.
And then, you know, it'd be one thing if it wasn't true that they had, you know, some grand plan to, you know, start the next ringer.
Sure.
Like, you know, let's just say,
I could definitely see Kendall being like, sports, pop culture, the nexus between the two, audio, video, online.
Right. Because I'm talking to somebody who's been in that type of war room before. Let's just say they didn't even have all of that, but they had a sort of pact that they were going to do this together, see it through together, whatever this may become. We know that that's not the case. They're already fractured.
Yeah.
There is no more unity in what they're doing. One, it's obvious that Shiv is not on board with this. Not in the slightest. And then, of course, at the end of the episode, where him and Roman decide together, we're not going to do that thing in the press where we call our dad senile and he wasn't really doing much anyway and it was really us. We're not gonna stab our dead father in the back. Together, they come to that decision. Yeah. And then what does Kendall do immediately
after? Tells Hugo to grab the
strap on. He acts unilaterally. Yeah. So, like, the fissures are already there. Yeah. Like, these guys are not together.
Yeah, and that can sometimes make the show a little hard to track because you're basically watching something that where nothing is what it seems. So even these incredibly tender moments of swearing on your father's life, essentially, it's just bullshit. It's just it's all in the moment. It's all subject to change. It's all like the wind could change in any given moment and we could change directions. Let's talk a little bit about some of the people that were around the siblings. Because I do want to get to Shiv's pregnancy and how you think that might affect things going forward. But Marcia comes back for the first time this season, for the first time in a while, and is immediately like obviously governing over this entire thing, but is also, you know, quick to tell Kendall, like, I was still friends with your father. Like, your father and I
unlike you,
all
I was cool
time.
With him.
Right, exactly. What did you think of her return?
It was like the first time I ever watched The Undertaker, like, come out of a casket and then immediately chokeslam a guy. Like, it was crazy. She is so scary.
Yeah.
And icy. And the way that she can vacillate from pleasant to, I will literally shove a knife down your throat. I'll kill you. Like her seamlessly, you know, going between those two modes was breathtaking, honestly. And the way she just cut Willow down, and was like, look at you.
Who would have guessed?
who could have saw this for you? All of those, that time when I first met you, when you were nothing but a prostitute, essentially, is what she's trying to say. That was, and then of course, what she does to Carrie. That's up there to me with Logan, at the end of season one, basically, like, Ken, you fucking killed the guy.
Yeah.
And I know about it. And I saved you. Now get the hell out of here.
And now you're my blood bag.
Exactly. Yeah, like, that's up there with that for me, because it's just like, no, we packed your little stuff neatly in a bag and you can get out of here. And then she's like, you know, she's dissing the subway. She's making
comments.
You can
take the cab to the subway to your little apartment.
New York City square footage in apartments. It was just, she was.
Do you think Carrie's the kind of person who would probably go like studio, but in the West Village, like smaller place, better neighborhood?
The bangs.
Or are we talking like she had to go all the way back to Brooklyn?
The bangs definitely suggest, obviously, cooler than Gramercy.
Uh-huh.
Cooler than Union Square.
Not Murray Hill.
Not Murray Hill. Absolutely not Bushwick. West Village. I could even see her put...
Fidei, maybe? Like a little bit of like
maybe.
Soho? Like
Even Fidei. No, I think it is West Village or East Village.
Okay.
Where it's like... We're in an artsier, cooler, way better restaurants than Fidei.
Yeah.
Way more stuff to do socially as far as culture and that kind of thing.
But I imagine it's probably like Carrie just like has that apartment like from years ago, but it's like she's mostly been in and around the Logan Roy
100%,
for the most
100%.
Time.
She's been spending nights, you know, she has a pair of house slippers over there. She's been doing her thing in that crib.
She gets... some surprising comfort or attempted comfort from Roman. Is that just mommy issues? Is that just like every time he sees, or is that like, I have a thing for wounded animals. And like whenever somebody is like discarded by this family, I feel a little bit sad about it.
I think it's just, it's a legitimately fucked up moment.
Yeah.
Right? And if you're outside of it, you can recognize it. Like this woman was, she was caretaking for my father.
Yeah.
You know, like the kinds of things somebody would have to do to be that near to him, a man that age, like, you know, there might be times where he couldn't get up to do something.
She was probably his
for
nurse.
Herself.
Was, exactly.
Like this woman was his caretaker. That's what I took it as. What I think is interesting though about that is that Roman and Kendall and Siobhan, they can create an inner sanctum that can become untouchable whenever they so choose.
Yes.
But he doesn't choose to save her and bring her in. It's just like, oh, she's not going to come with me, but damn, can she just be out here and not get sliced and diced to death? That's what I think is interesting, where it's just like, I'm not going to actually help you by like bringing you in, but damn, it still kind of hurts me to see you fend for yourself.
There's a thread through Roman though that I think is like he wants things to be okay. Like even in that room when they're discussing like the idea of him and Kendall becoming co-CEOs, and I don't really know, you know, let's just like we could just tease it out, like what the big difference would be if they were like, let's just be C3Os, like Shiv, Roman, Ken, the three kids.
Do it like Rockefeller.
He'll do this, she'll do that, he'll do this, and we'll shepherd this through. I think it's like a pretty fatal mistake. It's also very good for television to like, you know, exclude Shiv, create that tension. But even in that moment, Roman is saying things like, this feels really good. Like, this felt good. Like, this is like, he just wants like warmth, even though he is the most like, scloric, you know, like scabrous dude. He just wants like stability in a way.
And maybe that's
what he saw for Carrie. He was like, I just want her to be okay.
Yeah, it feels like he just wants them to be an actual family, a functioning family within the business. Even if not within actual life itself, like, oh, let's do Easter together with Kendall's kids who've been jettisoned to God knows where.
Man, I wonder if we'll get a comeback season for those Kendall kids.
Like, he wants them to feel familiar.
What's his wife's name? Ex-wife's name? Rava?
I think so.
It's Rava, yeah.
I feel like she's like vaguely like sort of Middle Eastern.
Rava?
Yeah.
Maybe. We haven't really spent a ton of time with her.
He just, it feels like he just wants them to be like a family unit, like, you know, the Three Musketeers, the bros, the sisses, like, we're doing this as sibs.
Yeah.
As, you know, Ken keeps stupidly referring to them as. But, you know, there's just too much in the way of that.
Reboot your credit card with Apple Card, the only credit card designed for iPhone. It gives you up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase. Plus, Apple Card has no fees, not even hidden ones. Apply for Apple Card now on the Wallet app on iPhone.
Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Variable APRs for Apple Card range from 19.24% to 29.49% based on creditworthiness. Rates as of February 1st, 2024. Terms and more at applecard.com.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's, huzzah, a toast to breakfast.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit jiffylube.com.
Have you enjoyed the compression of this season time-wise, where like every episode is a day, essentially? And it's day to day. Like, we've essentially gotten 4 back-to-back days in these episodes.
Yeah, because it makes it feel like all of this stuff is super immediate, and therefore the decisions are under insane duress. Mm-hmm. These people are not operating.
They're not sleeping.
They don't have clear minds. Like, they are being put through the ringer. Pardon the
TM,
pun there.
Yeah.
And so, like, I love that aspect of it. It's very high pressure. It's almost like watching a playoff game.
Yeah, and I like ascribing certain behaviors or certain instabilities, because it's like, do they even know what time zone they're in? You know what I mean? Because they've been in California. They basically flew through the night to New York to have like the karaoke situation in Connor's rehearsal and wedding. Their father passes away. Now it's the next day. They've assumed control of the company, but like, it's shaky. Now they're at this wake. And I wonder if the season continues to do
that. Is
that
what that was? I think it was the wake.
It was also like a gathering. You know? I mean, like, I don't know.
Everybody who matters, like, let's go see the people who are deeply grieving.
And this is also a shadow board meeting.
Yes.
You know, like, it's going to be like Stewie.
Two for one special.
Yeah. I said this to Andy, but Stewie being like, what's in it for me, was just like, was the absolute home run hit.
Yeah, that's, you know, if you pay attention to any kind of internet, like, sort of dialect, mm-hmm. You know, that for me, that's like a thing on the internet. So Stewie being tapped into that is
Stewie's definitely paying for his blue check right now.
100.
He didn't let it go.
100%.
There's this absolutely amazing scene between Frank, Carl, Jerry, and Tom, where they're just hanging out outside. I think Caroline is there too.
The fish taco scene.
Yeah. And I have watched that scene like 10 times now, just because not only like Jerry just being like, oh, are you sad, Tom? You're getting your melancholy everywhere. Yeah. But Carl's like, respectfully, this is what other people are going to say about you. I'm just going to tell you as a friend. I feel like we've reached really like a peak pinnacle of like people saying respectfully and then saying the foulest shit after that, or like without any disrespect intended.
It's the way that I love how everybody understands that the person that's hearing them talk knows that they have an agenda. Except Tom always tries to do his earnest Midwesterner thing, right?
Hey, like, guys,
Where Carolina's like, well, you know, realistically, Jerry, she did this and she did that. And it's like, you guys know I have an agenda, but I'm going to try, but not too hard to be like super earnest here. Like, I'm not saying this in some unbiased way. I'm clearly in the bag for Jerry here. Like, I'm back in the
Jerry.
She's
like, this makes sense.
Yeah, the Jerry thing makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas Tom comes in and he's like, you know, if there's a ring and I throw my hat in it. And everybody's like, Tom,
he's playing the social game in Survivor like 8 episodes too late.
You're so full of shit. Nobody believes that you're this earnest. But you know what? Let's play this game out with you. let's do this right now so we can just put the kibosh on this. And just cut him down like 40, 50 pegs.
Obviously, if things keep going as they are, we've got some Skarsgård coming up. We're getting a Scandinavia trip at some point because they're going to have to go kiss the ring and make this deal go through. Are you excited to see Lucas back in the mix?
Always excited to see Lucas. Like I said, he just brings a weird ass, unpredictable energy to the show where, like, with our other characters, like, so we know Kendall is going to have a breakdown of some sort.
The clock is ticking.
At some point.
Yeah.
We know that Shiv is going to shiv people behind
the back. It's Draymond on the road in a playoff game. It's like, coming at some point.
We know what these guys and gals are going to do. The C-suite Cowboys. Like, everybody, we kind of know how they're going to operate. Madsen is so unpredictable.
Yeah.
And so that's what I think is exciting about him is that energy of unpredictability and just like, where does he want? What are his actual motivations?
Yeah, I think there's some of this stuff, if I have to be completely honest, is like, it's because it's a TV show. Like, why is he buying this thing? Like, what does it have? Like, are you buying cruise lines? Are you buying theme parks? Are you buying...
Why the hell did Disney buy 21st Century Fox?
Because they wanted to buy X-Men. You know what I mean? Like, because they wanted to buy, like, the studios and the TV revenue and all that stuff so that they could... But I don't know why Madsen wants to buy ATN. I'm sure we'll find out a little bit more. I wanted to ask you quickly, though, before we go. How much did you follow the Fox Dominion stuff?
I followed it enough to know that Fox was in trouble.
Yeah. So there's been a bunch of like writing about Rupert Murdoch in the surrounding weeks, just because he's obviously been in the news a lot with this trial. And then it was reported after they settled that Rupert was going to be the second witness called, which would have just been absolute must-see TV.
Mm-hmm.
But did you see that Rupert told Jerry Hall that when the way he delivered the news that they were going to get a divorce was he was like, Jerry, I'm sorry, I need a divorce. Like, my lawyers in New York will be in touch with yours. And it was an email.
Sheesh.
But it's just like, isn't it funny when you find out like how close to life this actually is?
Right. Yeah. It's funny, but I, you know me, Chris, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised by the depravity of, you know, our overlords. I'm never surprised by that. Look, I'm not, you know, Pizzagate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't sit around thinking that these guys are doing stuff that cartoonish and ghoulish, but like...
No, but this is, the show itself is based on like... 100%. Pretty solid anecdotes.
Yeah.
I don't really have any predictions for next week in terms of like where things are going. I think the thing to keep an eye closest on is the three Sims, which seems obvious, but that is not a stable power sharing agreement.
Let's just walk the people through this. They have the C-suite Cowboys have their sort of powwow, and everybody agrees we can't let the kids fuck this up. They're shitheads. Everybody, to a man, they all are in agreement. Like, okay, that can't be an option. They find this document that is of zero import, right? They're like, I mean, we should hand it over just because it's, but it's not important. And yet they share it with the kids. They even bring Greg in on it.
Right.
And to me, and I wrote this down in my little note here, I was like, that's a thirst trap.
that piece of paper?
That piece of paper. They know they're going to incite a reaction.
Yeah.
out of especially Kendall. Like, he's going to be like, oh, I'm, it's me.
Yeah.
I'm motherfucking Rupert Murdoch.
Well, he was just 5 minutes ago. He was like, me and my siblings are in a 50-50-50, nobody's up, nobody's down thing. And as soon as I see my name on a piece of paper, I'm ready to rock.
And then that beautiful scene with him and Frank, where Frank says to Kendall, you're cooking right now.
Yeah,
you're
man.
Looking good. Your life's going great.
Yeah.
Why do you want to get involved in this? No, he says, do you want to get involved in this?
Yeah.
Knowing what the answer is, which is to say, Kendall, you are like, it's another way of saying it. If you get involved in this, you know it's going to ruin you.
Right.
That's all he's saying right there. And everybody already knows this. And Kendall is diving headfirst into it. And to me, that's just a beautiful sort of divide and conquer tactic. It's like, Kendall's going to go nuts. These kids are going to start backstabbing each other again. It feels like they did this on purpose.
Yeah. I mean, you could make an argument that the reason, first of all, there are no secrets on the show. Logan dies. It's already getting leaked to the reporters before the plane has even landed. And you can make the argument that the existence of that piece of paper is not going to stay in that room. Like, those three are not going to keep that secret. On top of that, if you want to go out to the press and be like, Logan left his last wishes, it was that Kendall Roy take over the company. He's decided to do that with his brother Roman, with Shiv in like consultation. Like, it's a good story to tell. That stuff seems to happen more off screen, like the decision of why they bring the kids in and say, hey, here's this piece of paper. But I think you also have a really good point there. It could entirely be to start a feeding frenzy and to start a complete, like,
there's no other reason to bring Greg in. Where it's like, Greg, you were...
Yeah,
you,
and go ahead, now you go tell the New York Post all about it.
Yeah, even you were mentioned, Greg. Like, you know, you're an important, or probably most likely not important part of how Logan saw this company going into the future. Like, that felt like pure sabotage to me.
Yeah, I think you're right. We can wrap it up there. We got a new episode of Succession coming on Sunday. You can listen to recaps of it on the Prestige TV pod and on The Watch. And then me and Waz will be back with you next week to recap episode 6. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.